aren't you glad that the curtain's been rent and we can go into the Holy of Holies instantly? You don't have to be wound up. You don't have to be talked into it. We have relationship with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that it's right there for the right now. The Holy of Holies. So as you come to each meeting, I encourage you, don't just wait and hang back. Come in with such an expectancy. Come in with such a heart that's saying, I'm going there now. There's nothing holding me back from that Holy of Holies. I'm there right now. Wow, God is good in this place. There's awesome stuff happening. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room. Thank you that we have the right to come straight to the Father. We just humble ourselves in your presence and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you just take your seats this morning, I'm just going to introduce Chelsea. I only met Chelsea a year ago, and yet she's one of those people that you meet, and I just felt like we connected instantly. And then a year later, we had dinner again last night, and it was just like, oh, feels like yesterday that we were having conversations. And we're very like-minded in how we think and the things we're saying and the things for the church and moving forward, and just our hearts are the same. And that excites me, because when people come, you just want to have the same sort of heart there, and it's great. Chelsea, we just welcome you. We thank you. I know you're going to be awesome, so come up and go for it.
Hallelujah. How is everyone this morning? Oh, you guys have the most amazing worship here. I say it every time, but it just feels seamless. It just flows so beautifully and really brings people into an encounter in the throne room of God. It's really extraordinary. Hear a lot of music, you know, around the scenes, but it really, there is something about your music that just draws people to the Father's heart. So keep going. I actually saw, when you guys worship here, I saw like sound waves going out, but you know how you like throw a rock in the river and all the ripples go out? And I feel as you guys just worship and you storm heaven, I just feel it's just sending out so much more than you think. And it's disrupting the enemy's plans over this whole area and over people's lives sitting here. It's disrupting the plans of the enemy. And so keep going. Keep going. It's so powerful. So powerful. It is so good to be back again. Thank you so much for inviting us back. It's a privilege and an honor to come to Murupna. We love it. Ryan and Michelle, you guys are excellent champions. And you know, God is doing amazing things all over this country. It's extraordinary. You know, sometimes in our little world, we can think, oh, you know, God's not doing much, and we feel like we're, you know, plowing hard ground. But I tell you, God is on the move in this nation and all around the world, more than I've ever seen. More than I've ever seen. Hallelujah. So good. He's good. So I'm going to invite, we've got a couple of interns with us, not only interns, but amazing men and women of God. And so we're just going to flow in a few words of knowledge. So if I can invite Jess and Chris up, that would be awesome. Let's give them a warm welcome. These guys are amazing. They've just moved from New South Wales to come and assist and help us. They were really pivotal in helping us with Awakening Australia. And they're two excellent champions of the faith, and we're delighted to have them here. So, let's just receive. And as Pastor Melissa said, just have your hearts wide open. God, what do you want to do in my life today? You know, just pull your heart wide open. God, I've got ears to hear. I'm listening. And you surely will receive from the Lord today. Hallelujah.
Yeah, actually, I did feel something for this lady here. Sorry, what was your name?
Beck.
Beck? Yeah, when we were praying in the worship time just before, like when you put your hand on me, I went into this amazing picture of this tree. And it was just this really beautiful shining tree. It had all these different fruit on it. And the fruit was really shiny. And I was like, wow, Lord, this lady bears real good fruit, you know? You know? And then I saw people coming, and they'll they're picking it and they're tasting it, and they were tasting and seeing that the Lord is good through you. And he was just really showing me about how you have this natural sweetness that actually releases the kingdom into people's lives, even if you may not see it, even if you may not even fully perceive it when you're talking to them. It actually is going deep in. And it's like, you know how when you eat an apple and it's got the seeds in it? It's like, I see when they taste that, the seed goes in, and that's actually going to bear fruit, you know? And trees get planted. They have deep roots. So that's what I really see of you. You know?
Cool. So something that I've struggled with for like a long time is like I have asthma, and I've been prayed for so many times, but like they say, if you struggle with something, that you should reach out and pray for other people with the same thing. So I'd really like if anybody here has asthma or other lung conditions, I'd love to pray for you. Stand up if you've got that. Cool. Awesome. Well, if you're around somebody who's standing up, can you also pray for them as well? Yeah, Jesus, we just pray complete healing over this. We just command all lungs to be completely healed. We command brand new lungs, clear breathing, and ease of breathing. There's no more problems in anyone's lungs. We just thank you so much that you care about these people and that you love them and that you have designed them to have easy breathing. You've designed them with perfect lungs. We just thank you that today that they will have new lungs, that they will never experience their problems again with the breathing. They'll never wake up again in the middle of the night struggling, that every night will be easy, every day will be easy. Thank you so much, Jesus.
Awesome, so good. I also felt there were people in here that needed a financial breakthrough as well. Is there anyone here that needs a financial breakthrough? Probably everyone, but yes, Lord. But someone that's really, really struggling, the situation's come up. Can you just stand up? We just want to reach our hands out. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, that you're a God of no lack. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we just declare the heavens opened over her, Lord God, the floodgate of finance, Lord God, that your children lack no good thing. To those that love you, Lord God, there is no lack in the kingdom, God. You supply all our needs according to your riches and glory, which are endless and never run out, God. And so I just declare that there's breakthrough in finance for this lady in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Even today, Lord God, there's going to be a shift in those circumstances in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Awesome. So good. God is so good. He's so, 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 so good. You can't even exaggerate how good he is. He's amazing. He's amazing. It's so awesome to be here this morning. I nearly didn't make it. I woke up with a severe migraine and I knew straight away it was an attack of the enemy. And sometimes you just got to push back against darkness. Amen. Sometimes you just got to not let the devil beat you up. But greater is he who lives in me than lives in the world. And sometimes we just got to fight back. It's like, no, you're not putting that on me. No. And we've got to resist the enemy. We submit to God. We resist the devil and he flees. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here, because Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And I love the theme, Arise. I love that theme. There's so much in that, and I believe it's prophetically all over the world. Like, you know, Pastor Dan was saying that they had the same theme, same arrows. That's the logo. Exactly the same in Holland. And so, you know, who knows? God is saying, Arise. It is now. We are in our greatest hour now. God has chosen you for this season and this hour. You could have been born on any time of the timeline, but you were born for this hour. And so we've got to take our rightful places as sons and daughters of God and arise and shine so his light can come. Hallelujah. So I really feel that, God was speaking this word to me about coming back to the basics of the gospel. You know, we can do so many, different things. And I'll just share a story. Dan and I were up in Queensland. We had a break over Christmas. And these people, let us house sit their house, which was amazing. we were near the beach, and anyway, it was time to leave, and so we wanted to leave their house better than what we had found it. So we hired a cleaner, and out in the outdoor area, there's like a big patio, and the weather comes in. So it's all tiled and stuff out there, and so the weather comes in, and so that was the thing that I wanted to fix first. And so I rang this cleaner, praise God she could come, and so I said to her, you know, we want the whole house done, but the priority is that we need the patio done first. We want that clean first. And anyway, so I wrote it down, I texted her, I spoke to her, you know, just wanted to really clearly communicate what I needed done and what was priority. And so anyway, so we go out for a while and that's great. We're having fun with the kids. And so we come back and, you know, walk into this house and, you know, everything's just beautiful. Like, you know, every room, I'm like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know, she's done a really beautiful job and it's all shiny and clean. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Anyway, I go out to the patio, the very thing that we needed done first, and it was left undone. And I'm like, but didn't I communicate clearly? I'm sure I wrote it down. I went back through the text messages I spoke to her. I let her know, well, this has to be done first. Yes, the rest of the house, but that first. And anyway, I'm like, what happened? Like, what happened there? And what happened is she ran out of time. So she thought, I'll do the inside of the house first and then I'll do the patio last. But the inside of the house took a lot longer than she thought, so she ran out of time to do the main priority. That was the main thing. I wrote it down. And then Jesus dropped into my spirit. I love how God just uses everyday things to teach you a lesson. And he said, Chelsea, a lot of my children are busy beautifying the house, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they left off the main thing. They think they've got all the time in the world, but they're leaving off reaching the harvest. He said, go into the world and make disciples. That was the last thing that Jesus said. There's an emphasis. There's a priority on those words. And sometimes we can be so busy and so distracted beautifying the rest of the house that we leave the very thing that's close to his heart, the very thing that is the most important to him, undone. I was like, wow. So I'm out there. It's stinking hot. I'm sweating my head off and I'm mopping the thing myself, right? Dan's laughing. And so I ended up having to do it myself. And, you know, God's called every single one of us. Let's turn to Isaiah 61:1. Let's just come back to the basics of the gospel. We just need to keep it really simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, everything that you've got, and love other people. That's as simple as the gospel is, because when you've got love at the helm, you're not going to lie to people. You're not going to hurt people. You're not going to steal from people when you love God. And that's it, just two commandments. And you fulfill everything through love. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So say upon me. Not someone else, me. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent who? To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So get that? Me, he. We're not leaving it up to someone else. He's anointed us individually. He's calling you, everyone in this room. No one's exempt from this word. He has anointed you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Me, so he's glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We don't need to ask God to do what he's asked us to do. He's already given us authority. He's given us everything that we need here on this earth to destroy the works of darkness. Jesus was made manifest to destroy, to dissolve the works of darkness. Everywhere he went, he just destroyed what the enemy was trying to do. Broke the bondages, healed people, set the captives free. And that's our call as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we need to come back to prioritizing what is important to the heart of God. We can just be so busy with so many things and so many things need to get done, but we must come back to loving the Lord God with all our heart. God doesn't care what work you're doing for him if your heart is far from him. He wants us to be in that secret place where we just love him. That we're not doing ministry for ministry's sake, but we just love him and we can't help but overflow into other people's lives. That's what he's after. He says all through Revelations, I know your works, I know your works, I know your works, I know your works. But you've fallen from your first love, and that's a place that we've got to stay in love with Jesus, in love with him. Center your life around him. Christ-centered Christianity, where everything's about him. We need to come back to that place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So who feels like they've got a call from God on their life? Awesome. And who feels like they're really walking in that call of God on their life? So there's a few that are still waiting to find out. Is that right? Would I be right? By the hands going up and not. You know, I think sometimes we can be so distracted in waiting for that one magical day where all the doors open, where I'm going to walk in my calling. And sometimes we can be waiting, well, my ministry's going to start when I get married. My calling's going to start when my kids have grown up and they leave home. And we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting for this magical day that we're putting the call of God or the advancing his kingdom on hold because we're waiting for something. We're waiting for the door to open to the calling. We're waiting for an opportunity to minister. And I want to show you here that God has already given every person in this room a ministry. Every single one of us, no one's exempt. You don't need to wait for this ministry. You can do this ministry wherever you go, whatever field you're in, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're at right now, you can begin this ministry today. You don't need to wait for something to happen, for the doors to magically open to your destiny. And I'll show you Colossians 5:18. Oh, I love this. God wants us activated. He said, don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. Because he said, if you're just a hearer, if we're just continually hearing and hearing and hearing and not actually putting into practice what he said to do, he said, we're deceived. So we need to be doers of the word. Those are the ones that are justified, the ones that hear his word and then they go and do it. He's given us everything that we need. We don't need a double anointing. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the full measure. You don't need a double anointing. You've got the fullness already. Everything that you need is within you right now. You might not have activated that yet, but it's exercise. You want to flow in words of knowledge and prophetic, exercise the gift. Start getting out on the streets and start prophesying over people and start praying for healing. When Dan and I started going out, you know, 15 years ago, we wouldn't see many people heal, but we just consistently went out and kept laying hands on the sick and just kept laying hands on the sick. God, your word says. And we began after a while to see miracles breaking out. You know, we've seen so many miracles. It's amazing. It's exercising the gift. We get strong in it. But we've got to start somewhere. It's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym and exercise. There's a gym on every corner, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be fit. And, you know, you've got to actually go in and start working out to get the results. There's a church everywhere, but unless you begin to come in and hear the word of God and begin to go and exercise, it's not going to benefit you. The word of God will not benefit you unless you apply it to your life and begin to work out of that place. Hallelujah. So Colossians 5:18, and all things are of God. Oh, that's what I got here. Oh, sorry, I got two scriptures. Did I say Colossians? Oh, I don't know what's happened there. Might be Corinthians, sorry. Try that one. Well, that's fair. Let's try another one. So I keep reading. I'm not sure why it's there. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every person in this room has a ministry of reconciliation. You don't need to go to Bible college. You don't need to wait till you're called. You can start that today. You can start that today. Wherever you go, you can start the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man back to the Father. How awesome is that? If you don't feel like you're fulfilling your call in your life, there it is, right there. Everyone is called to be a minister of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whereas God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and putting the word of reconciliation in us, then we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ. We are. We're ambassadors. We represent him. As God exhorting through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And Jesus was sent to reconcile us back to the Father. That was the whole point for Jesus to come, that he made a way back to the Father. And so that's what we've got to be. We've got to be those gates of heaven to people, that we steer people back into the direction of being reconciled to the Father. Hallelujah. And when we move, God moves. Do you know we're God's hands and feet? People are like, oh, God will take care of it. Yeah, no, God wants to use you to speak, to be his hands. When we move, he moves. He needs a conduit. He needs a body to be able to enact his will on this earth. We're his hands and feet. We hear what he wants to do, and then we go about doing his will on this earth. God, what do you want to accomplish on this earth? What can I do to help see that come to pass? And that's destroying the works of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we speak, God's voice is heard. When we heal the brokenhearted, God's glorious comfort is known. We are his representation on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so if you're waiting to fulfill that specific call on your life, you know, can I encourage you and remind you, and even if you want to write this down, of what the believer's mandate is, the believer. It doesn't matter if you're a leader, it doesn't matter. If you're a believer, this is for you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That includes our neighbor next door. Heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. Come on, there are so many dead places, dead lives that need resurrection power. You know, those dry bones, they, when they were raised up, they look dead. They're dry bones. How can anything good come out of places that are dead? Do you know, as Christians, we are called to call those things that aren't as though they are. When they rose up, when the breath of God came over that dead and dry place, flesh began to come on their bones. And it says in the end that it formed a formidable army of the Lord. And so where we see dead places, that's where we need to be. Don't shy away from it. Never be scared of the darkness. The darkness is terrified of you. Terrified. Because Jesus has already won. He's already won the battle. Where there's death, God brings life. We bring life. Where we see death and destruction, we bring the kingdom of heaven into that situation and into that place. We're all called to do that. You've been equipped. You've got everything. You've got Holy Ghost. He's an expert. Even if you don't feel like you know what you're doing, he's an expert. Just lay hands on the sick. Hey, can I pray for you? Awesome. Just lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say pastor. It doesn't say leader. It just says lay hands on the sick and they shall, not hit or miss, they shall recover. We've got to believe that. God, as soon as I touch someone's, their sickness is going to leave because the power of heaven lives in me to drive out the kingdom of darkness. We've all got that. It's not just for the superstar Christianity. It's for every single believer. You can do that. God's calling you to do that. Thank you, Jesus. We're called to heal the brokenhearted. Weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn. It's not time that's the healer of our heart. Right here it says Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. It's not time. Time, it might, you know, dull down the pain, but there's still that ache there. We're called to heal the brokenhearted. We're here to proclaim liberty to the captives, and we're here to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus already told us to go. We're not, I'm just going to wait till... He's already said it. He's already said it. If my son went away and we left him, you know, like a list of things to do and... You know, we came back and you know, he hadn't done them. I'd be like, you know, how come you didn't do them? I wrote it down. Oh, you know, God's, we don't need to keep asking, oh, should I pray for this one to be healed? He wants them all healed. Oh, well, I don't know if I'm led to speak to this person. He wants them all reconciled. We don't need to wait for a leading of the Holy Spirit. We're already led. He's already told us to go. And so many of us hold back because of fear, and it's like we've just got to smash through that stuff and push back the kingdom of darkness and dissolve darkness wherever we see it. That's what we're called to do. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Hallelujah. What a mandate. He hasn't left us just hanging and we don't know what we're meant to be doing. He gives us the beginning to the end. He shows us what's expected of us, what to do, how to do it. Don't go down this path. He makes it so clear. It's not cryptic. The gospel's not hard. He never leaves us hanging. He tells us every little thing from beginning to the end. You know, you've got an enemy or someone hating on you. God will, he shows you. Love your enemies. Pray for them. He hasn't left any stone unturned. He shows us everything of his heart, his will, his way. And that's through his word. If you're not in his word, you're not going to walk in a victorious Christian life. I'm sorry, you're just not. Because it's the truth of God, not my opinion of truth, not what I think is, you know, the modern day truth, but the truth of the word of God, which will never fail. It's forever settled in the heavens. When we begin to get back on that path, What do I do here, God? What does your word say? I'm not just going to go off on my own path and be deceived. What? Bring it back to the word. God, I've got this situation come up, God. What does your word say? What do I do? It's all in there. It's all in there. And so we've just got to let his word be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And it's funny he uses lamp because he doesn't say it's a great big spotlight, searchlight where you can see, you know, 10 years in advance. He doesn't say that. He said it's a lamp, and with a lamp you can only go a couple of steps. And you got to keep moving with that lamp to see the next step in front of you. If God had shown me what I had to do to get here, if he'd shown me a big searchlight, I'd be like, no thanks. It's too hard. But he gives us the grace and he gives us the ability to keep walking. God, what does your word say? It's a dark world. We need the word of God, not watered down, not compromised, the full counsel of God. We can't just cherry pick scriptures. Oh, this is a nice scripture. This is a nice scripture. And we hear a lot on the goodness of God, which is amazing, but there's also a severity of God. We can't leave that bit out. It says all scripture is profitable. All of it, not just, oh, just pick this bit and that. All scripture. All of it. You know, because then we're going to have the right balance. We're going to have the right balance. Some it says on some, save with compassion, on others, save with fear, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. That's how God got me. It wasn't Jesus loves me that got me. I'd heard all that. It was a Jesus that came in his mercy, and he used someone to tell me I'd burn in hell if I didn't turn around. And I tell you, I was mad. I'm like, I was so angry. I'm like, how dare that man? How, what? He doesn't even know me. And really, really mad. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I needed to hear it. And it drove me back to the Father. It was a spiritual sword I could not pull out. I tell you, we need it all. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I fully believe I'd not be standing here if that man hadn't spoken what he did into my life. And so don't be afraid. You know, use discretion. But don't just say, oh, well, you know, preaching hell and all that stuff doesn't work. It's not true. It does. It does. You know, and so we need to make sure we're not leaving out, you know, repentance and sin, and turn from your sin. You know, turn from that old life and turn to a living God. We can't leave that stuff out. You want people to feel the conviction of sin. I remember weeping before God in repentance, because I'd found the living God. You know, we can't leave that stuff out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that verse, but just a few verses down it says, you know, he's not condemning us, but he said we're condemned already. If we don't know Jesus, we're not making it to heaven. And we're not just talking about coming into a church. Do you know him? Do you know him outside a church? Is he your friend? Do you have a relationship with him? When times go tough, is he the first one that you run to? Because we have to know him. That's the greatest thing, that we would know our God. That he's the prize. He's the treasure. He's the pearl of great price that we chuck off everything else to know him. And if you're not in that place, then can I encourage you, just get before God and just get your heart right and aligned back up with God again. Because that's what he's calling his people to do. Come back to the basics. Come back to the basics. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't want to wait anymore. We don't want to wait before we walk out in that call. You know, waiting, 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 because the enemy will keep you inactive while you're waiting. You're thinking, yeah, that call, what if it doesn't happen? What if the doors don't open? The enemy's been able to keep you inactive. And so God wants to activate his people. And so where the enemy brings bondage, we have already been given authority to bring freedom. Where there's mourning, where we see mourning, our mandate is to bring joy. Where there's brokenhearted people, we come with the healer of the brokenhearted. So everywhere that we go, no matter what situation we're faced with, we bring heaven into that place. How do we overcome evil? With good. That's what he said. That just seems so easy, God. How do we overcome evil as the tide's rising of evil in our nation? And it's so twisted. There's so much sexual immorality. It is just, I've never seen anything like it. It's all twisted and just all wrong. And we need to stay, you know, on the word of God. But love is what does it. We've got to make the crooked paths straight for people and just speak into their lives. Where there's ashes, we bring beauty. Where people are broken and they feel like it's the end and there's nothing good going to come out of this, that we just come and we bring his beauty. We bring the kingdom of heaven and we establish heaven on earth. That is our mandate as Christians. That is our calling as Christians to start now. That is our ministry. That is our primary ministry to do that. We turn darkness into light. We bring love for hate. We bring life for death, and we bring healing for sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, the enemy's terrified. He knows his time's short. That's why he's kicking up a big stink all over the place, all this crazy stuff happening. But God still wins. Have you read Revelations lately? He wins. He's the hope of glory. The devil's not even a match for him. He's not like, whoa, whoa, we're breaking even here. Not even a match. Not even close. Jesus said, I'm far above every principality and power. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. Jesus wins. But there are people that are stuck in the darkness. There are people that literally they cannot see. They're blinded by the enemy. And so when we come and we shine that light of the gospel, we see that prisoners get set free and then they learn and then they shine their light. And we see the kingdom of darkness dissolved and destroyed everywhere we go. That's our call. Everywhere we go, just bring in the light and the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I really feel, you know, sons and daughters, it's time to arise. You know, the next generation is so important as well. Jesus spoke generationally, the Abrahams, the Isaacs, and the Jacobs. And, you know, while there's still breath in your lungs, you still have a job to do. God has not forgotten you. You're not just sat by the wayside, oh, the younger generation will do it now. No, they won't. We need the wisdom of the older people who have gone before us. We need everyone. We need our children to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. You know, Solomon's son, we see all the amazing things that Solomon built and established for God. Phenomenal. Do you know within 5 short years, his son Rehoboam turned back to idols? Within 5 years, everything that he had built, that whole legacy was gone. And so that's like you think, how on earth could that happen? We've got to be teaching our young ones. They don't have a baby Holy Spirit. They've got the full measure. We get our kids to pray for people, they get healed. You know, teach them. How do you hear from God? How do you stay on the word? Begin to teach them now. Disciple them now. There's no point discipling nations in the world if you can't disciple the ones in your house. Come on, we need the next generation strong. If Jesus tarries in our generation, they're going to need, man, they are going to need the strength of God like no other generation to walk through what they've got to walk through. And we've got to prepare them. We've got to prepare them. We've got to make sure that they know about Jesus, that they know him, that they have a relationship with him. So it's time to arise. Everything that you need, you already have. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wonder if I can get a musician up. And so what does this mean for us today? It means it's an invitation. Can you imagine every single Christian in here activated and out in their own spheres of influence, just as you go about your day, just preaching Jesus. Can you imagine walking down the streets of Murupna and everywhere you go, you hear the heralding of the Gospels. You see someone praying for someone. That's what we're called to do, just as we go about our normal daily lives. Evangelism isn't just a slot of 2 hours. It's a lifestyle. Because, God, we're in front of people all the time. You can walk out of here and around the streets and probably pass like 50 or 60 people. Just even just talk to one of them. You know, a good way to get out on the street as well, if you've never done it before, is just to ask someone, can I give you a word of encouragement? Can I encourage you today? And just begin to pour out Jesus' heart for that person. I tell you, people don't hear that. They're like, sure, yeah. You know, and as we begin to, you know, pour out his love, that their hearts were made to respond to their Creator. It doesn't matter how far you are from God or how far you think you are from God. You can't hide from God. God can reach every single person. And can I encourage all those who are still praying for people in your family that aren't there yet, keep praying. In the heat of the battle is not the time to give up and bow down and shrink away. It's time to stand up. It's time to arise. It's time to battle for them even harder, because it says if we train our children up in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. They might depart for a season, but they will not depart. That's what God's word says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God sends out many invitations all throughout our life. He's come up higher. He come this way. He's sending out invitations to us all the time. And there's a verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. He's called all of us. But how many of us are willing to give our lives? How many of us are willing to forsake what we want to do and take up his cross and follow him? It says, he who loses his life shall find it. You know, we think that life's in all these things in the world, and we think, you know, it's this and it's that, and that's going to bring me satisfaction. It won't. It may for a season. But our satisfaction is found in him. We're complete in him. Our expectation needs to be in him. And all those other things, when we seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added unto you. You know, let's not get blindsided by this world. This isn't our dwelling place. This isn't our home. We're on assignment here for the kingdom of heaven for a short time. And just like that story I shared before, that lady thought she had enough time to do the main priority. How many of us think that we, you know, if God was to come and inspect our lives now, are we really ready? Are we ready in our own lives? Are we ready in our heart? Do we really know him? Because time is running out. Time is ticking down. We're in the last days, big time. In Romans, he said the night was far spent back then. It's really, 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 really spent now. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. You know, we can't afford to just be distracted on stuff that really doesn't matter in the light of eternity. We need to fix our eyes back on eternity. God, what have you put me here for? God, how can I help bring your kingdom to earth? Because I tell you, it's powerful. There is so much power in this room of the Holy Ghost. It's enough to flip this nation on its head. Jesus only had 12. There's a lot more than 12 in here. It's a lot more than 12 in here. You know, God wanted to say to you guys that nothing that you've planted has been a waste. Nothing. None of it. None of it has gone to the wayside. There's been people in here, you've been interceding for years and years and years and years and years, and God said none of it. None of it has been wasted. I've heard every prayer. Every prayer, and you will see those prayers answered. So nothing that you've planted will go by the wayside. He will come and he will pour increase over it. It'll bear fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm just going to open up the altar, you know, for that fresh invitation to just come back to the basics of the gospel, just come back to his heart. You know, you might be doing okay and feeling okay, but are you really in love with Jesus? You know, when I first met my husband, I couldn't wait to, you know, to hang out with him and just be hanging on, you know, the phone calls, and just loved him so much. Just went out of my way that I could spend time with him and just love on him and rush home from work. Cool, we're going to go out, and we never want to lose that. We never want to lose that, even in marriage. You know, we're covenanted to God, but it can be so easy to take each other for granted. It can be so easy. And we do that with God. We do that with God. We don't want to be familiar with Jesus. We don't want to, you know, have our eyes dulled down, but we want to have that wonder. Remember when you're first born again, that first time that you knew that he was real. Let us live in that place. You know, the enemy tries to weary us out and grind us down. But I tell you, when you come into that place, it's not hard work to serve King Jesus. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor that he entrusts us with his gospel. And if it feels like it's hard, then, you know, just to get right with God and just say, you know what, God, I've strayed away from your heart and I'm coming back. I'm running back today. And I just want to give anyone an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus in this place, you know, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard about church, but you don't actually know him. You don't actually have a relationship with him. Then I just want to give you an opportunity to put your hand up that you can come into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So with every eye closed, head bowed, if that's you in this place, and I just ask you to put your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's a merciful God. He loves you so much. Gave everything that you could come into a relationship with him. Everything. Everything. He loves you. He cares for you. Hallelujah. So is there anyone in this place? Thank you, Lord. Looks like everyone's saved, so maybe we need to go and get some more people from the street and bring them in and get the lost and broken. So we're going to open up this altar, and, you know, it's just a time for you and the Lord. We'll get our prayer team just to come up as well. And just, you know, spend that time with God. It's an invitation to join into the harvest, to see people's lives transformed. But just like any invitation, if I get an invitation to, you know, a daughter's birthday party or something, I need to RSVP to let them know whether I'm coming or not. And so I really feel this is an invitation. Are you going to do God's work and what he wants you to do here? It's a fresh invitation. So I'm going to open up the altar. Many are called, yet few are chosen. Let's RSVP. Let's just give him everything. Let's just give him everything. He's worth 100%. He's worth everything that we have to lay it down, to pick up our cross and follow him. Everything. He's worth it. He died on the cross. He gave everything for us. Everything. His own flesh. I can't even imagine. I can't get my head around that kind of love. Let's be people that just give everything. Let's be reckless lovers of God. Let's just pour out our lives as a perfume on his feet. Say, Jesus, you're worth it. You're worth it all. Hallelujah. Awesome. So we're just going to open up the altar. If I can get Jess and Chris up, Dan as well. We're just going to pray for some people. So don't be shy. This is between you and God. This is, you know, we're family here. If you feel that you've shifted away from that love of God, then I just want you to come up and just spend some time with Jesus. Hallelujah.